Wait, is this deja vu?
Okay, it's hard to
welcome
do
to the show. Sorry. Welcome to the show, guys. I'm here, Machete. We have
we're back.
Cheech, Yoshi, and I made a rookie mistake just now and didn't record the first 10 minutes of the episode. But we're all talking Once Upon a Time in Mexico, yeah. Or Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Mexico is a different movie.
Yeah, but kind of in the same, isn't it? Kind of like, who wrote that? Oh, that's Rodriguez.
Rodriguez wrote that one.
Not bad. Yeah, so what'd you think of the movie?
Well, like I said the first time, well, the ending was amazing. The whole beginning was funny, had a lot of great parts in it, but I felt like it really had very little to do with the ending. And if they just made it about the ending, I
wanted to see
satisfied.
More Manson time.
It's pretty fucking awesome.
I wanted to see Manson more. It's Charles Manson.
He was only in one scene.
Yeah.
Only in one scene, and you only see his face for like a brief second. But they did it well because it was very creepy. He was so creepy, and he did nothing creepy. He just was creepy.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it was an interesting choice because you only saw him once. You could feel his presence throughout the movie. Because anybody who knows history, I thought the ending was shocking because I didn't know they were going to do alternate. Well,
dude. Yeah. Spoilers, by the way, for this episode. We'll put it in the title, so don't worry. But
I thought she's going to get killed. That's what I thought.
You know what happened? Fucking Jimmy Kimmel spoiled the shit.
Yeah, you told
out
us.
Of the fucking movie. He said that, and I was like, "Well, that's what's gonna happen." And so I was expecting that ending. Well, I was not expecting them to go to his house. I was expecting them to still go to Sharon Tate's house, but somehow Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio
were gonna like jump stop in and it. Stop yeah. him. Yeah. So I think, he likes to rewrite history a little bit, and mm-hmm. I think now it's. It's basically comes down to this like love letter to Leonardo and Brad Pitt's character. You know what I mean? It's like the showing their bond between both of them.
Yeah. And that's what we were saying.
To Hollywood to make a movie making thing too.
It was a little to me. It kind of felt like a little self indulgent. Like this is the shit he likes. And this is
could have been. It would have been amazing if it was 90 minutes. If it was a 90-minute tight fucking.
You know, I don't even know because there was so little story. Like
that's what I'm saying.
What do you cut out? Because there's like none of it really mattered. So you could just cut out any of that shit.
None of it. I think that shit was. It was amazing. I thought it was great. I just didn't have to be 2 hours and 40 minutes.
You know who was mad at that movie?
Who?
Some Asian people.
Oh right. Yeah.
Oh, because of Bruce Lee.
Yeah. His
daughter came out right.
It's. Angry about the whole thing.
Yeah, I have heard of a mixed review story about his real attitude towards people. Like he's portrayed as this one character in maybe that may just be good PR, but low key, I heard he was a little bit arrogant sometimes to some Americans. I don't know. That's what I heard.
Well, I mean, they definitely made him look arrogant in the movie, but they kind of made him look like a badass because he got thrown around, but he didn't like he wasn't like injured from it. He was like still ready to go. He was like, "What? That didn't hurt." So I thought they made him look pretty cool still, even though he was a little silly.
So none of that stuff I told you helped you when I was like, "Be prepared. You're not gonna know what's going on." You know what I mean? I was just like, "Just don't try to look for a storyline."
No, I mean, I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed the whole thing, but it was like, it didn't really have much.
It was weird how he didn't tie in the Brad Pitt visit to, to Spawn Ranch, you know?
Oh.
Cliff Booth's character or whatever went to Spawn Ranch. I can't believe they didn't really tie that in better because. It's weird because he gets there, and this is a big spoiler, but we already announced that. So he gets there, and he's like asking, where's the owner, George, or whatever? And he says, does he still live in this house? He's like, yeah. And you're like, dude, he's fucking dead, or he's like, whatever. And they're like, he's taking a nap. And you're like, yeah, right, he's taking a nap.
Yeah.
A dirt nap. You guys killed him.
Really
and we're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden, everything checks out. Everything, like, oh, yeah. She goes, well, why is he taking a nap? Well, I want to watch TV from this certain time. And he doesn't, yeah, I don't like him to go to sleep.
That's exactly true.
And it was everything checked out. And he's like, hey, you know, he gets fucking bomb ass pussy from all these young hippie bitches.
Yeah.
And he can stay here as long as everyone fucks me. You know what I mean? That's a great fucking deal for an old man like that. You know what I mean? So, it was just weird. To me, it was just like, wow, you could have really tied that in so then that maybe the dude who he fucking socked up for piercing his tire went back to, like, get revenge on him. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
It was just weird because it was a complete coincidence.
Yeah, because they kind of just said, oh, I recognize you.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Yeah.
It was weird.
But
it was
like Yoshi was saying, like, you felt his presence. Like, because there was only a few creepy scenes in the movie, like the scene with Manson in it and then that scene at the thing. And, I mean, it was a good job. Like, it was a creepy scene.
A lot of misdirection. And the guy who plays Manson in the movie, he plays Manson in the Mindhunter too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty dope.
What's starting like 2 weeks or something like that.
That's interesting.
That's great. I like that.
Fucking.
But yeah,
also,
definitely.
Also, while I was watching it, the whole time I started thinking, I was like, is he Aldo Raine from Inglourious Bastards, Brad Pitt? Is this what he did after he came back from the war?
I like this.
I was like, that would be fucking awesome if he's like, and it kind of makes sense, you know, you come back from the war and you did some crazy shit, so you change your name.
Kill your wife because
you're all fucked up from the war, and now you're a stuntman in Hollywood.
Now, isn't it interesting?
That's an interesting theory.
Isn't it interesting that Brad Pitt is in that boat holding that weapon facing his wife?
Yeah.
Because the last movie he made with Angelina Jolie, it was revolving around a boat and both of them in the movie.
Mm.
So it was a little bit of wink, wink.
Nice.
I'm going to shut my wife because...
I also like the fact that they didn't have to show anything. They just were complaining. And
then things kind of pointing at her.
Yeah, it's...
But so I was looking into that. I was like, could he be the same character?
So the character between Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt, their characters were based off of... what's his name? Burt Reynolds and his stuntman.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Apparently Tarantino lifted that because they had like a decade bromance.
Mm.
Burt Reynolds and I don't know who's the stuntman name, but that's where he lifted that story from. And it's just like when you see that, it's I totally get it. And the dog is a great fucking add
dog
to
was
that.
Great.
Who doesn't love a dog in a fucking movie, you know?
Yeah.
He did a good job. I like it. I think it's a nice love letter to Los Angeles movie making and this and this little bubble that we're still in, but I imagine how much worse it was without the technology, with thinking you're the most superior fucking land in the fucking, you know, galaxy of the fucking, you know, Milky Way or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just seems like there's just a lot of arrogance, a lot of blissful, like, ignorance and just like, you know, but at this, like, as far as the culture and society is concerned, but like, even in that, there is a bubble of you being this actor and you, like, you know, this all that can be taken away from you at any moment. You know, there was still kind of like this, I don't know, I guess this luxury lifestyle that it didn't seem so glamorous from when you get old, or this is the bad side of Hollywood, or, you know, especially in those times, you know.
I kind of feel like, I mean, I kind of said this last time. I was like, Quentin Tarantino just does things like, what's the most badass thing could happen at this moment? And I kind of felt like that's pretty much what he did at the end of those movies. Like, what's the most badass ending I could come up with? Okay, wouldn't it be tight if the dog kills the, and then he smashes her head, and then she gets blown away with a flamethrower. That would be tight. And then he just does it.
It's so funny because...
And he just does it. And it's
at the end when he does the flamethrower thing, all she had to do was just submerge
duck
herself
in the water.
And it was funny, though. It was a great ending. I think,
but it's like, I wonder. That's what makes me wonder. Why don't other people just do that in their movies?
I don't think people are that bold.
Really,
I think people like to be subtle and not to be so obvious.
And it wasn't fucking. It wasn't fucking subtle at all. The way he smashed her fucking head like 50,000 times.
He's not subtle in his movies, and I think that's like he's so over the top that I think another director will make it seem too like forced. Contrived or something, you know what I mean?
Maybe they don't want it to look, I don't want it to look too cartoony
or Tarantino-y.
Or Tarantino-y.
Yeah,
but where he doesn't give a fuck, he's like, no, smash your head 20 times.
But there's so many references, like, for a lot of these shots, the Western. He pays homage to the old Western television
Bonanza.
The Bonanza. He does the shots behind in the car as they're driving. There's a bunch of shots that essentially he lifted from. I don't know. We want to say like maybe 30 or 40 movies, like, but he paid homage to them in a certain way, you know, like he has these really big sweeping shots that just go, you know, the neighbor shots where they kind of like show, there's a scene where they show, DiCaprio in his pool and the camera keeps going back and it literally goes straight into Sharon Tate's room or Sharon Tate's house the Polanski, and they show and the it's like almost seems like it's this one long shot of him seeing DiCaprio in his pool. The camera goes all the way back to the other side of the property where Sharon Tate and Polanski are getting into the car, and then the car, like almost like the camera attaches to the car, and then they leave and we're like in the back seat with him, and it's like that shit's amazing. Like it, and even when the Spahn Ranch gave him his own Western to shoot in, that wasn't a parody of a Western, because when they were taking that couple up on the hill and shit was going on with Cliff when he was beating that guy up, there is like this sweeping shot where it's like a classic Western shot of when that guy, Tex or whatever, was racing back to go address the little scuffle that was going on. Like he's on the horse, and you see this long shot of just him, and it looks like a fucking Western, for the exception of all the old cars in the background that are just beat up and rusted. But it was like this amazing, almost not like a mock shot, but it was almost like we're in a Western now. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, it was just, he basically lifts from all these. So there's a lot of little things like that you could pick up from the movie. On the surface, it had no storyline, and at the end, it just like surprises you with a crazy ending. But if you look deeper, you see all the little things he's paying tribute to, and really making you feel that you know what it's like to be in LA.
It's very weird for him though to have a movie with little story like that, because all of his movies are so complicated and, you know, so much going on. And
I think there was one, it was more in the shots that I think was the complicated part, like how you were able to block streets and to make it look like, I was really trying to look in the background to see if I saw like you know, like an old fucking or a new building that was up that they just fucked up. But they did a great job with like these amazing shots on the freeway, getting onto them and just really showing the vibe and doing the old theaters. And
isn't it amazing when you see that driving scene in that movie, how LA with maybe 70% less population and less minorities is so wonderful to drive in the freeway. There's no traffic. You get places quicker.
Definitely.
And the beautiful hitchhikers.
Jesus. But yeah, if you really look at the movie, they only cover 3 days.
Yeah. So I heard two.
No, three. I think it's like February 8th, 9th, and then 6 months later. So then the 6 months later, they come back, but they do a lot of backstory, a lot of buildup, and a lot of storytelling.
They tell you about Italy.
Yeah. So it's really like, so they really just, you see essentially 3 full days, you know what I mean? So 3 full days of, and it was like, it could have been cut a little bit, like as far as making it tighter, like you show everything, but just
less of it.
Just show everything you've shown, but just like,
see, maybe. But then it's like, well, I went through all this trouble to fucking close down LA, and I was like, I'm gonna show him driving in the car for 3 minutes before each scene.
And I think, because you know what though, there was a lot of cinema that was like that. They had these long scenes, ass
openings to
and
all, scenes,
yeah, and they a long establishing shot. So I give him some props for that. But I'm glad you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And so, I don't know. I was just like, it would have been so cool if he really just was the character from Inglourious Basterds, but he would be like too old.
But I would love to see more Manson. I would love to see Manson do some shit, do some crazy shit. Like, I was hoping for that, actually.
I mean, I think it would have been it might have been better if it was more of these two stories told simultaneously and then they intertwine at the end. More like his style, honestly, where he's got two different fucking story going on and then they end up crashing into each other.
I remember when I first heard that Tarantino was doing a Manson deal and a Manson story. I was like, oh, okay, cool. He's going to do something. Like, it really wasn't about Manson at all. You know what I mean?
It really was about their friendship.
It was about their friendship and how – what because I don't know if that's true. It was was Manson really deliberately trying to kill Sharon Tate, or was it an accident? I don't know why someone told me that was an accident. They went to the wrong house or something.
I heard that it's true that the person he was wanted to kill, or who he had something against, yeah, was the person who lived there before her. That's all I know. So, you know, but in the movie, they mention that. They say that, oh, yeah, this is the guy's house, but it doesn't matter, kill whoever's there. Right. So, I don't know.
You know what's so interesting? Like, I noticed, like, every time they talk of Charles Manson, it's always, like, a couple of my white friends who know every detail, like, who's who and, like, who murdered why. Like, is that a thing? Like, I don't know. I might have read Helter Skelter, but I don't remember any of it. But, man, they know their history about crazies.
Sure.
But I knew I'm going to like the movie even before watching it because I'm just a big fan of his. But it was really like sentimental and homage to Hollywood. But if you like the movie, I highly recommend you guys watch Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
That is an incredible film. And I can't believe people were making the movie kind of sneaky about it because they're sending wrong script to censors and they're higher up at the management because it's an indictment on Hollywood movie business and star making. It's really, it really is like a horror flick.
Really?
It's one of the great films. It's absolutely one of the great films. And if you want to know a lot about Hollywood, the movie making business and star making machine, highly, highly recommend. It's the same year All About Eve was released, and it's about that as well, and with Betty Davis. But it is a tremendous film. It's a must if you really want to know history of show business. It's very disturbing. I even saw a Broadway show version of that as well. So if you watch this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, counteract by that Hollywood Boulevard, the movie, it's a great, outstanding movie.
Double feature.
Yeah, it's a really interesting study on Hollywood because I'm a big fan of it. But, I like stand-up, but I never did it to become a star. And it's interesting that some of the people who fell and how it destroys them too. So it's not just about actors, but it's also in Broadway shows and stand-up comedy and musician where they try so hard to be a star, you know. And it doesn't matter how big of a star you are, eventually the machine will destroy you. Because we all get old. You don't sing as well as before. Maybe your finger doesn't work well playing guitar. But, it's great when you make it big. You make a lot of money and you're adored by millions of people. But eventually, if you're never a well-adjusted person, when the end comes, they don't make adjustment very well. And that's what Hollywood Boulevard is about. It's a tremendous film. I highly recommend it.
Is it called Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard?
Sunset Boulevard. Oh, yeah. But the reason I'm going to bring up something right now because Ernie brought up my friend Peter Warren. He's the chief editor for AVN, Adult Video. So to me, Porn Valley, I always called it like the minor league to Hollywood, which is a major league. To me, it's not a big difference. They're both entertainment. And then July 3rd, the last day I was in Europe, I was in Dublin because I was looking for my friend Brandon Iron because I haven't been able to contact him for months, you know. I think the last interaction was late March. And I started hearing rumors, and then it was confirmed yesterday he killed himself.
No shit.
He was a friend of mine for 20 years. He's somebody that I love, and he's the closest friend I had in the whole business, and he's the most honest person I ever met. And to think that July 3rd, I was walking around Dublin because I didn't know. He picked me up one time when I visited him, and he dropped me off at the airport. So there was no reason for me to know the address. But I had an inkling where was the neighborhood, and I know he moved, but I was really desperate looking for him because
How did he do it?
The rumor is hanging like Brody. So I don't know. I don't have all the information. It sounded like it was like mid-April. So like I was looking for him like almost 3 months after.
Did anyone report that? Because the adult industry has been having some suicides, right?
It's just, well, Because he's in Dublin, he was kind of isolated from the business. I was hoping maybe I upset him. That's why he doesn't respond to my messages. And I was like, wishful thinking. I was hoping maybe he was in rehab. But even if you're in rehab, you have access to Messenger and email. So my last hope was he was mad at me, or I was praying that he was in jail. Mm-hmm. And then got a confirmation yesterday. Oh, no, a couple of days ago. I haven't been sleeping with that well, but he was a friend. I met other porn people through my other friends, but he was a friend I met on my own, and I've known him for 20 years. And I think sometimes he's such a modest person, very kind person. And I think if you're not a deceitful person by nature, if you're not a liar, if you're not a terrible human being, you just cannot see ugliness in other people. So you don't anticipate people are doing terrible things to you until it's too late. Mm-hmm. And he really wants that. And I think a lot of people, because, you know, he fucks for a living, like...
he was a porn star.
Brandon Hurdle is his real name. He would have been 51 last month. But, you know, men are not used to being sexually objectified. Mm-hmm. So when they're in porn or male modeling, nobody really give a fuck if something happened to them, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, I was involved kind of a little bit with Last Day of August when August Ames killed herself. They're both Canadians too, mm-hmm. hanging. So, I mean, it's not, I think it's hanging, but that's the rumor. But there's not going to be podcasts or investigation, you know, because I never trusted his girlfriend. And a couple of things I read about her comments about the whole thing, it just, you know, I don't have evidence to prove, you know, she has something to do with it. But you have vibes about people, you know. Mm-hmm. And then,
I mean, I remember he was on your podcast, Yoshi.
Multiple times, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a very nice guy.
Very decent guy.
And you know his dick when you see it, because mm-hmm. it's like, this sounds so funny, but now that I knew who he was, and I go, dude, I totally fucking watch your pornos, bro. Like, he was I would say I saw his pornos without any, I knew him before.
You've seen his dick more than your own.
No, I don't know about that. But I've seen his dick plenty of times. And it was just so weird because, like, when I met him, I was like, I know you. You're that dude.
Yeah.
You know, and honestly.
And if you want to visualize, if you've never seen his movie, you don't want to watch him. But if you want to visualize what he looks exactly like the guy who shot JFK.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, because when he did a movie with Extreme Associate, they made a movie where they present him like alternate history where he was – why am I forgetting his name all of a sudden? But he looks just like the guy who shot JFK.
Lee Harvey Oswald?
No.
Who's that?
He shot the guy who shot JFK. I'm blanking right now. I apologize, listener. But if anyone who is listening to this and you happen to be living in Ireland, Dublin especially, because I don't know how – crime, obviously they didn't present it as a crime, but I just want to know what happened last 1 month of his life, because I don't want to talk nature of the conversation on Facebook, but you know, he sounded all right, but I want to know what happened that 2 weeks, 3 weeks after I was interacting with him that led to his hanging or suicide. But yeah, it's Brody and this, you know, in the span of like 2 months. So, and Bourdain over a year ago hanging, and I have to say with my dad and stuff, like, it's very, very sad because many people love all those people. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he didn't feel comfortable to contact, or he felt hopeless, or maybe he thought in a sick, rational way, this is the most logical way to get out of it, you know, and it isn't. And I just wish I got to see him. His girlfriend always made it difficult for him to visit me when I was visiting Europe too. And you know, I just have gut feelings about people, and my spidey sense was like alert right away after meeting her. Just things to say. And
is she younger than him? Like a lot?
Not a lot, super a lot, but you know, they have a daughter, you know, and it's she has anything to do with this, you know. I could be very, might be very wrong. Yeah. I feel the way I do, but I was right about August Ames, and you know, I just, you have certain feelings. I'm not a perfect person, but you just have certain feeling about, I don't think this person's a good person, you know. So, but anyway, that,
that's crazy.
I'm, yeah, it's just, I don't know what to say. I don't want to blame porn because, people say like, well, because he's did porn, like, I don't necessarily think just because you do porn that they're crazy.
And but it take you in and then spit you out when they're done with you, no?
Well, I mean, isn't that true for Hollywood too? Isn't it also true for music business and stand-up comedy?
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and like even regular job, you work years for corporation. When they decide that they need to cut, you know, I guess if you're preparing for yourself, what's in front of you, you make a better adjustment. But you know, it's not like I'm in a good position either. Yeah. But but you learn to survive, you know.
Yeah.
And but the system, you know, if you learn anything from The Wire, the great Wired, that whatever institution you belong, eventually they're going to disappoint you, I think. Yeah. We're all going to die. Hello, everyone. I have news for you. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
Not but me. Learning to make adjustment and having a, having healthy recognition of reality, that I think you'll be okay. But yeah, anyone going to porn, Hollywood, stand-up, music, art, anywhere so-called dream or ideal business, you know, there's going to be a lot of, well, they're going to have some good news, but there's a lot of it, you know. Mm. It's, I mean, people blame, sometimes when people hate LA, I just wonder, like, have you visited LA? So there's people who hate LA because they never visit here, but they just hate it. And there's people who hate LA because they lived here. It's because they come here with all the problems, expecting the city to resolve that for them, and it just doesn't work out. Well, is it really the city's fault? Maybe it's not their fault either. Maybe circumstance, but
yeah, it's hard to
say. I love LA. No matter what, I love this place.
And I know I played a clip of Anthony Bourdain talking about Los Angeles on our Wednesday show. And did you have some more stuff you wanted to speak on Bourdain? I remember before we left, we kind of still had some stuff that you forgot to mention on Wednesday.
Oh, I think I did, but
so, yeah, just basically talking about he's he's definitely one of those characters where, you know, he shed some light on the some dark stuff.
Going back to what Yoshi was saying about people, you know, getting spit out.
Yeah.
I was watching a video of Steve-O. He's been in the news a little bit too because, well, I'll tell you about that in a second. But he was doing a video diary show, and it was so weird. Like, he was like, how old is he now? Like 45 or something like that? Something like that.
Yeah.
And some guy was over there at his house interviewing him. Yeah. He was like, all right, guys, this is what you're going to do. I'm going to light my hair on fire, and then I'm going to show you how to blow spit fire. And then you're going to, I'm going to light my hair on fire, and then you're going to spit the alcohol over my head, and you're going to blow a big flame. And they do it. They teach the interviewer guy to do it. He lights his hair on fire, and they blow it up, and then it's done, and they're like, oh, that was cool. And it's kind of like, come on, bro. It's time to let that shit go. You've been doing it for too long, and now at this point, it's almost sad now at this point.
He did the stunt?
He did, yeah.
What did he do?
He lit his hair on fire.
It was him. I thought it was the interviewer.
No, Steve-O lit his hair on fire with a bunch of hairspray, and then he had that interviewer spit, you know, the alcohol or whatever, the oil or gas, and spit it out over his head, and it created a big fireball. And then when it was over, everyone was like, oh, nope, that happened. And it's kind of like a little sad.
I mean, you know, it's hard to say because, like, speaking of like that, to more of your point, is I saw
but people want him to do that shit, but it's like
I saw this random video. I was like on a deep dive on Instagram a few nights ago, and I follow a few music pages, and they were showing like this live performance in 2019 of the Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And oh my God, stop.
Well, they look just bad.
Stop. Like, it's like, it almost seems like they didn't really even play They were just like, it just seems like they're like, bow. Like almost like how they do, what do you call that, the Shreds videos, you know what I'm talking about?
They were bad?
They were...
Because I kind of, I've seen them recently, not 2019, but I've...
Oh,
not,
you have?
No, not seen them, but I've seen videos of them from recent times, and they still sounded good. I mean, Mick Jagger can't sing, but he could never, sing.
Yeah, I know.
This is going back... What
so I don't know how bad it could have been. I would be shocked if it actually sounded bad.
Well, I'll pull the clip up. You be the judge.
Okay. This is going back what I was saying, the Hollywood Boulevard.
Maybe it looked pathetic, though.
The main character in Hollywood Boulevard is a silent movie star named Norma Desmond. And she's having a hard time adjusting to reality that she's an early to mid 50-year-old woman trying to make a comeback in Hollywood, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think she didn't do anything wrong. We all get old. It's just when you don't know how to make an adjustment when things change, that's when the problem happens, you know. Mm. I think.
Yeah.
But the Rolling Stone, I couldn't imagine what Ernie's saying, but I'll still go see them.
Yeah. I can't imagine them sending that. But also, Steve-O got hacked. His Twitter got hacked. And they started posting like crazy shit, like started having him say the N-word and like all this racist shit.
Wow.
And one of them was like, oh, what do you call a black person on a tree? What? He said a branch manager. They're some crazy shit.
But was he complaining about the things that...
No,
I don't know. They just hacked his page.
No, but he
oh, with the fucking fire thing. Yeah, like on his head?
At a certain point, you gotta change because you just can't do it anymore. Your body won't allow you to do it. You know?
I mean, he can still do it, but it's just like it was just like so when it was done. It's not the same as a bunch of young, stupid guys going, "Oh my god, that was so crazy!" It was literally just a bunch of 45-year-old guys going like, "Oh, that was fun."
So what about the Middle East?
It was just weird.
It's almost like these women who were – remember how beautiful they were? Like there's a scene in the Sunset Boulevard where she kept watching the movie she did years ago. Mm-hmm. She's still living that world thinking she's still 25. Mm-hmm. But she's 50 or 55. You know what I mean? So you make an adjustment, right? Like nothing sadder than when you see somebody around my age, a woman – trying to just dress as a younger woman, you know, like you just, those days are over, you know. I mean, you could still try to be sexy, but it's got to be grounded in reality, you know?
Yeah.
So, but that's a tough one for women, especially because older you get as a man, if you have a lot of success, young women will say he's dignified or success, whatever.
Not just that, but these men can have these long ass careers where they're like, you know, 60 and 70 and they're still acting and they're still considered cool.
Because what's her name from Top Gun? She wasn't invited in the part two.
Yeah.
Kelly McGillis?
Yeah.
And this is what she said, like, for my age, my appearance is appropriate, but Hollywood is absolutely abomination, really, you know, and because it's a visual thing, you know, so, but it's tougher in America because,
it's not a good recording, but let me see. Well, I can tell you one thing. Mick Jagger's not even attempting to sing in key.
It looks like a bunch of old people. Like, they show the drummer, and the drummer looks like...
The drummer looked fucking old as fuck since, like, the 70s.
It's insane, dude. It's insane. Like, you know, I love the Rolling Stones. You know what? It's just not...
But, you know, when he was singing, he was not even close to singing the right notes. He was just literally just talking at this point. But he's kind of been doing that, but that was a little worse than usual.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think this is the Hang It Up tour. You know what I mean? Like, and
I'd say more power to them. Fucking keep going.
Of course.
If you're still making fucking, they were like up until a few years ago. I don't know if they still are, but they were the most successful touring act around.
Yeah, well, there's like a point where you're just like, you go in their dressing room and they're all like, "Well, that happened."
But it's like, I don't know. That's less because you're playing music, which I'm sure they all love music.
Of course,
you know, and they love performing in front of people. How could you know?
Over 50 years now.
Yeah, but. Wow. Steve-O, come on. Like, do you think he loves setting his hair on fire? Yes. And he loves... I don't think so.
I'm glad he's doing it
because that's his shtick. And he's like, people want me to do this, so I have to do it. And it's a little sad.
I'm glad he's doing stand-up and I hope lessons less. Because just when you get older, these things are more and more difficult to do. You know?
Yeah, I root for him. I would say, do the stand-up.
Yeah, I like Steve-O.
Do your stand-up. Live your life.
Yeah, but stop lighting yourself on fire.
Dude.
At least in porn, these young women, they could do MILF now. You know what I mean? Because before your career ended like in late 20s, you know?
I was hearing on the other show you make, what's it called? Holly Randall.
Yeah.
And she was talking about like how, or some maybe somewhere, but they were talking about the MILFs and how they're like 30 years old and they're play MILFs.
Yeah,
and it's like kind of sad too.
It's insane.
Just because you're not 18, you're now a MILF.
Thank God for American Pie, because that really changed the whole MILF thing, you know, older woman.
Yeah. Was that even a thing before that?
Not really. I think that was like made public aware about it.
Yeah.
And I think some...
All of a sudden, it's like a thing to be into.
Yeah, it's... Most men still love young women, obviously for biological reason, you know. But why do some young guys love, or some people, men love older women? Because I think it's true. Confidence is something that's attractive to, you know.
Totally.
When you're older woman, you've done it all, you've seen it all, and you're not worried about public shaming as much as when you're younger. So you just are more honest about what you want, and I think it's a turn off for young guys. Like, oh, this is somebody who knows shit. Like,
I've known a lot of guys that like that because. Just because they know they could hook up with the older woman and they're not really expecting a relationship.
Yeah,
and
that too.
And they still look good. You know, they still look pretty good. And yeah, they're more likely to just fool around.
Yeah, it's good for them. You know what I mean? Because it's so funny how like women's sexual peak is their late 30s, early 40s. And men are like in their early
20s. Early 20s, I know.
I mean, there's something about the confidence and about a woman who can kind of show you a thing or two, kind of turn you out a little bit. You know what I mean?
And that word's funny, like menopause, menpause, you know? But
menopause. It's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
there's no pausing when you're a MILF. They're,
yeah, you know, I think you know, I had this one. I don't know why I mentioned this, but I had this one older teacher in when I was going to art school. Mm-hmm. She taught like magic and ritual. She was French, and she was older, but she was very sexy.
Yes.
And she was just basically saying that it's very common, like women in, she was in France, right? She was where I come from. Mm-hmm. Women they basically can still be sexy as they get older. And it wasn't that she was like actually like traditionally attractive. It's that she had a way of carrying herself that just was like, ooh, girl, I can, you know what I mean? Like, you just felt like she kind of gave off a presence.
Vibe. Sexy vibe.
Very sexual vibe. And she kind of, I thought that was very, like, she educated me on a lot of things after school. She didn't.
I wish.
You know, it's interesting because did you watch Mad Men too?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember that Freddy character? One time they were bringing this exercise thing for women.
That's right.
And they were talking like the real reason why women like him, whatever. But it's interesting. Peggy Olson was listening to all those men talking about it. But it just never occurred to them that women actually like sex, or the fact that they should be concerned about the sexual pleasure of women too.
Oh yeah,
that kind of blind spot that we have, you know. Mm. And that was very. And
it was
revealing.
Interesting too, because the moment she tried it on, she felt like, oh my god, this is like rubbing my clit or whatever, vibrating my clit. She goes, oh, and she takes it off. Like, this shouldn't be doing this. It's so.
And I think the ad that she created for it, it's promoting that part without that being so obvious.
Yeah.
You know.
Non-Tarantino.
It was, well, for people who didn't see it, it was like one of those things you put on your stomach girdle. That's supposed to like vibrate the fat loose, basically.
It's like pants.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it was supposed like to shake your fat loose, but it ended up just shaking your clit.
vibrated. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it was just funny how, like, you know, they weren't really educated back then, and I still think that carries a lot over from that time. It spawned to our quote-unquote conservative outlook on on sexuality in America, it spawns from that time, you know, and like how people were supposed to be proper and, you know, and Christian and you know, it's such a weird, I mean, I get why, but I mean, it's just, so it's such an old traditional belief, I think, that it shouldn't be applied in the modern America at all. It's too many cultures. It's just, back then it was just all whites, and they can say, oh, we want to be conservative Christians. And they're like, look, this is not how the rest of the world operates, my friend.
Well, you know, speaking of those conservative religious people, but I think there's a lot of pretending, you know, like, I remember when Christopher Hitchens was like promoting his God Is Not Great book, and talking about atheism. It was interesting. He was saying that he goes south, a lot of people showed up for his lecture. You know what's interesting? They even met, he even met, you know, ministering preachers. They honestly confided in him, saying, I don't really believe in God, but like, I don't know what else to do. So, you know, people say, like, are those people stupid supporting Trump? I think they know he's lying. It's the same kind of like thing you watch wrestling. I know, wink, wink, this is not real. Audience are not dumb. It's a performance thing. They know they're onto it too. So when they vote for Trump, it's almost like ironic, you know, like even ministers, why do they say like gay must this, you know, burning hell? It's not different than heel from wrestling. The more crazy shit you say, you get more publicity. Yeah. But do they really read the Bible and live that way? Probably not. There's a lot of like pretending by everyone.
But that's what that's what one thing my dad always
said. We're all pretenders.
Yeah, but it's a little bit where it's unscrupulous, you know. They're especially like career politicians. This is how they make their money. If they've been doing this their whole life, if they lose this job, their money stops. Their whole life, it will have to change. So they have to do these things that they don't want to do.
You gotta remember.
But it's like, they are lying.
Yes, but Cheech, you gotta
doing the right thing.
Cheech, you gotta also understand the reason they lie, because if they told the truth, the audience, we, the voters, gonna get mad at them. We're not gonna vote for them.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
So we're all guilty on this. Like, if you say like, hey, you don't want violence, you need to do this, and this. You don't want to be poor, you have to do this and this, that. Like, everybody knows what you really have to do. We just don't want to do it. And so, like, they lie to us. We don't want to hear the truth. So, you know, pretenders. We are just pretending.
Yeah, but is something, isn't there, you know, doing the right thing? Isn't that sometimes playing to life?
Sure, but look at what happened to Jesus. You know, they made a furniture out of him, you know, like – we all the NBA, all the professional players complain about how about their contract and stuff, but this is a small example. Like, there's generations of players before them have to suffer, and they benefit now because they were taken advantage of, and they have to fight against, you know, unionize, and, and afterward they're blacklisted. So all the benefit that we have because somebody else has suffered before, like. You think things are bad? Just remember how Mexicans were treated 100 years ago in this country, or 200 years ago. Yeah. Believe me, it was always worse day before.
Wow. I think we should wrap this.
But you know what I mean, like
I do.
And like,
I do.
We don't want to be honest with ourselves. Like,
I think that's the reason why America is the almost kind of like the greatest country, because it's that we dabble in a lot of that kind of delusionalism, if that's a word. But we're all delusional in some way, and I think that America is the perfect enabler for you to indulge yourself in your dreams and your in all your ambitions, because there are no limitations to hold you back like you'd have in other countries, where maybe women can't do certain things, or maybe, you know, you were born into this industry of you, you know, being a farmer, or for you being a mason, you know, or whatever, masoner, or whatever that was called, I don't know. But anyway, but like, you would, instead of doing these trade hobbies and going into the family business, you can go to America and then indulge your passions and indulge your, and a part of it is because we don't, we have this certain way about how we carry ourselves, Americans, as a culture, that I think seems very attractive, is because you know, we have a lot of confidence because we think we're right. And there's a lot of that blind, because I think that's exactly what separates the Warriors. Why America, you know, is they have, they're the leaders in this, in the world right now, obviously, regardless if we're not the strongest economy or whatever you might want to argue.
It is.
We're the most influential. We have the most amazing, like the most billionaires here in America as well. So there has to be something to be said for that, that anything can happen, but it's, yeah, we don't want to be honest with ourselves. We don't want to see.
Sounds like Don Draper.
Yeah.
You know, he's fucking, he comes off as confident, he's rich, he's successful, he's good looking.
He's white.
Whatever, well, under if at all, he's fucking ashamed of everything he's ever done in his life.
He's almost like American James Bond in New York City. And, you know, even with all the problems we have in this country, it's fucking great. And, you know, whenever people used to say, go back to your country, like, my answer is like, no. Because, because they usually say that because whenever minorities or foreigners complain about this country. Sure. But let me tell you, you're in your, let's say you're in another country and you do that, chances are you probably get killed. That's why this country is great. Yeah. All they do is go back to your country, but they don't kill you. So that's so great that you can complain and make white people upset because you're complaining.
You know, America's the only place I feel that you can just get a group of very mildly talented people on a podcast like me and Cheech and get someone, you know, and keep this going for like 5-6 years, however long we've been doing it.
Thank God for those two listeners.
Thank God, for real. But you know, I do think
thank you to the Blood Brothers.
We're the best. We're the best at creating misdirection and forgetting our problems and basically numbing our pains with good old fashioned entertainment. We're the best at it. I don't think
our entertainment's dope.
Entertainment's the, of course. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's the best. You know, our food is you know, can be arguably, but it is the best when it wants to be. Obviously, the fast food, and for poor people, it's not good. But for people who have money, oh, the best food. We have the best fucking sourced whatever.
We do have the best fast food.
Yeah, it'll get you hooked for sure. America's the best drug I think there is out there, and I think a lot of people want.
It really is. America is just. I'm so lucky to live here.
Yeah,
all the shits are going. This is even with all the problems. This is such exciting time.
What would you be doing if you're still in Japan?
Probably stabbing people, burning buildings.
Wow, I can imagine. I
mean, because there's no such thing as Japanese dream or Chinese dream or Russian dreams.
No,
nope.
There's no such things. Only America. Even if it's not true for most people, it's okay to have a dream. Like if you're in Europe or Japan and say, "I want to move Hollywood and do this," like they wouldn't even let you think that. Mm. The fact that we have a luxury to think like, I have a dream, I want to do this, whatever. It's the only country. Like, do you know Canadian dream or Mexican dream? What is that? They don't have to come here. Like that. You know?
There's a show on Hulu called Rami. I think I talked about it a few times.
Oh, the Muslim guy, right?
Yeah, the Muslim dude.
Is it good?
I like it. I liked it a lot, actually. I highly recommend it, actually. It's really good. So, but one of the lines that they say is like you know, his dad is a traditional Muslim and his son, which is Rami, he's just like, yeah, dad, I want to do something where I have passion. And he goes, passion? Passion's for white people. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Like, you know, you got to work. Like, you know, so it just rings, you know, that those beliefs are still being practiced to this day, you know, even in this country.
That comedian is really funny because he was talking about he's Muslim, but he's pick and choosy when he follows stuff, like which rule to follow.
Yeah.
And he and his friends call it a la carte. Very funny.
Are you doing any stand-up dates soon now that with your open schedule?
I don't have anything booked.
I'm doing this Sunday now because I got canceled. I'm doing 10:30 at Belly Room. Sam Tripoli asked me if I wanted to do a show Thursday. I told him, like, I think I'm doing medical testing. But now I got to contact him and said I'm available.
So it's at the Comedy Store Thursday?
Thursday is Long Beach if we still got a spot. But 10:30... Belly Room this coming Sunday. And
for all you Angelinos out there, that's the Comedy Store, Belly Room.
Yeah, this is Anwar and Michael Turner's This Week Suck.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like those guys. And I just did his show in Phoenix, I just got back yesterday. So I've been going more to Comedy Store than
improv.
Not so much Comedy Store mainly, because
they're more of a good hangout, and you get a network a little bit better there, it seems.
You know, I'm a Debbie Downer, but ever since Brody things, I'm trying to spend more time there.
Yeah,
but it's the hottest room. You know, like Comedy Magic Club is obviously phenomenal, because they get big names there.
Yeah.
Seinfeld and people like that, Leno, Laugh Factory, Improv, they're a great franchise institution. But I don't know what's going on. But right now, fucking Comedy Store is on fire. I'm in like fire like Hiroshima right now.
For a long time now.
I guess a long
5-6 years because the new manager Adam and
if you go to the Comedy Store, for all you people who are out of the state or out of the country, you want to go on a Tuesday night. I think it's the best night to go. All the comedians are in town, and they just come in to hang out
during the week. Yeah, they just have these insane lineups. Like fucking
dude, Tuesday nights. I'm telling Tuesday you, nights. Is like the most litest night to go to the Comedy Store. I mean, I just give away the secret. Whatever, I'm sure they know already, but it's just amazing. Like the kind of people who are just coming in.
Yesterday, I did potluck for first time in like years.
Oh shit, that's nice.
And I'm not even kidding. There must have been like 150, I don't know, some crazy number of people trying to get the 15 spots, and I'm on it. But
you got the spot?
Yeah. Nice. It's kind of nice because I'm kind of shocked how many people know me from podcasts. They walk like, wait, are you Yoshi? Like, they kind of know what I look like, but when they hear me,
they know.
Yeah. So,
well. Yeah, actually, a lot of my friends that listen to podcasts, a lot of them know who you are.
Weird.
Because they know, because you've been on a lot of podcasts.
Well, saying a lot of weird stuff, too, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, and you've been on Rogan.
But that was just once, you know?
It doesn't matter. It's
episode 317.
He's so huge, like, that. Everyone knows about it, basically.
I mean, to me, Joe's not even like a stand-up anymore. He's like a media entity.
Yeah.
He is media 24/7, you know? Because I'm complete opposite, because I'm not good at anything, but he's good at mixed martial art. Not only talking about it, but like people tell me he was like a state champion or something.
Yeah.
I'm Asian, but I don't know any of that martial art stuff. He was in the radio sitcom. I forgot the name of it. Fear Factor. News Radio. And headlining comedy. And
apparently he's an amazing pool player.
Oh, is that right?
That's what people say.
And I heard he's good at hunting, too.
Oh, yeah. Shoots a freaking bow and arrow.
Yeah, he's a very nice. I saw him first time in a long time recently. And
how did you get on that show?
David Cho.
Oh, okay. He just said, you'll like this guy?
No. He asked me, how do I contact him? I helped him. And then, I mean, I did say, like, can I get on, too, to Dave? They got me on. And I've known Joe for a long time because...
Oh, so you when knew.
I mean, I know, but I'm not like close friend. I mean,
but you had met him several times.
Yeah, because when he used to do Man Show, I would bring a gay guy on the show or a transsexual on the show. So, and I brought porn for the show for Brody, because Brody used to do warm up for Man Show for Stanhope and Joe Rogan. And
Man Show.
Yeah, And he was always nice, you know. Like, he's nice because everyone is nice to him because. When you know that you could beat up anyone, nobody's going to threaten you. You know what I mean?
I know.
It's like you're driving Lamborghini in freeway. If some Toyota Corolla kid's trying to challenge him, like, you already know you're going to beat. So you don't even worry. Like, you know, I saw Brian Redband yesterday. And he just said, like, Joe's so good to him, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why did he stop doing that show? Because he's not on it anymore.
He's on every once in a while.
But I mean, like, he used to be the guy that was in the room all the time.
I don't know the reasoning, but Joe has a permanent audio person there.
Yeah.
And Brian's go on the tour as well, know? He's still, like, one of the executive producers or something.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure he makes money on that, too. So, I mean, Joe wouldn't have podcasts if it wasn't Brian kind of suggesting him to. So, you know, it's all good. I mean, I'm a little worried because I feel this middle condition, so I don't know where I'm going to – I got to figure out where I'm going to make money soon.
Jesus.
It's scary because I was like, fuck, I was just hoping like I get in and I'll be okay for like 2 months. But now I don't have shit. So I got $200. I got to figure out something for next 1 month. This is how I live. So like when people are like, man, it's so great that you go travel the world. Like,
I mean, you have a lot of friends though. Could you hit some of them up, say, let me open for you and shit?
Maybe, but that's not the way to contact them. But,
no. Oh, I don't know, but I mean,
I've done so many of that shows, but you know what's so funny? I'm 50 years old. Mm-hmm. I have no job. I don't have I don't have brother, and God knows what medical problem I have. Mental illness.
Sure.
You know, no retirement. But God, because I live in America, I'm still full of delusion, maybe, but optimism, you know. Because I could be in fucking Syria. I could be in Africa, you know. There's parts of Africa.
You get some money, you might go there.
You know, honestly,
that's the funny thing.
And honestly, I really truly believe that that there's something in the power of a second. And the power, like, you're in a second, like, your life can totally change in another direction, whether it be you getting yourself up out of whatever position you're in and saying, fuck it, I'm not going to accept this anymore or whatever. But in LA, I believe that even more because you don't know who you're going to meet. You don't know what opportunities are going to happen, and your life can change very quickly. Mm-hmm. And if you just keep on, if you stay the course, do the work, and you keep perfecting it. And I truly believe that, like, no matter what age, like, people are later and later, you know, getting a career like Marc Maron in his, like, you know, 50s, and, you know, Louis in his 40s, you know. Mm-hmm.
But Ernie, I don't feel like I'm entitled, you know. Yeah. And sometimes when you see, especially white kids that grew up in a very nice home, like, anything's possible. And when they come to Hollywood, it's a really, like, rough reality check, you know.
But there's a little bit of a high, too, of, like, seeing people's dreams being crushed and made every single day. Mm-hmm. Like, every single day in Hollywood, that happens.
You know what, Yoshi? You should start a podcast or just join one that's already going.
Yeah, I think Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a great way of just basically saying that, like, yeah, that this is a real life. People choose, and I think.
I mean, if you don't stop doing this one, but
stop.
No, don't stop this one. Keep doing it. But if you're serious, you know that kind of podcasting I would talk with you guys would be funny because I read so much Hollywood periodicals, like, you know, like, oh, it's interesting. Like, why am I blanking now? There is an animated series by Ali Wan and Tiffany Haddish. Mm-hmm. Netflix just canceled it, you know?
Did.
So, like, I would talk about, like, why and what was the reasoning. And, you know, I don't mind talking about, like, hey, did you hear about this person getting kicked out of this project? Or what happened to that? Who's that Hollywood actor that went nuts like 5-6 years ago, escaped to Canada? Dennis Quaid's brother.
Randy Quaid.
Yeah, he was rambling about something like, what the fuck? You know, like, he had a very good career. He was in Brokeback Mountain, remember?
Yeah. And his back broke?
Yeah. the Hollywood broke his back. I like stories like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, anything show business, in Japanese, it's called mizu shobai. Mm-hmm. So let me break down what that means. Mizu means water. Shobai means business. It's called water business. Hmm. And what's water business? Because anyone working in night business, so like, you know, like bars, theaters, restaurant business, brothel, a lot of those places are usually in the canals, right, with the water. Oh. And when there's a light at night, you see the shimmering reflecting on the water. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a dreamy world, dreamy business, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I never really separate, like, being prostitute, porn, strippers, to Broadway show, to opera, to Hollywood movies, independent film, video games, to comic books, even, like, CNN and Fox News, to me, in wrestling, to me, they're all the same thing to me. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Things that amusing people so they don't really have to deal with reality, you know?
And that's what Hollywood's good at, amusing people so they have to deal with reality.
Just like this show.
Mad Men advertisement is entertainment, you know? Yeah. So,
and I think it's hard for people to separate that. Is that what they see on TV sometimes, or they see even in on a news show, or even now with social media, it is essentially entertainment. And I think people are confusing it with real life. And it's not cool.
Because we live in, before General Eisenhower, President Eisenhower was retiring, he warned Americans that the danger of military-industrial complex that threatening our freedom. We are in next phase. We are living in military-industrial entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And it's such a powerful device that they're using it to distract the masses, mm-hmm.
yeah.
control them, essentially.
So donate
to our Patreon. Subscribe to this podcast.
This is what Neil Postman, who warned people in 84, because they were talking about the book George Orwell's 1984. At the Frankfurt book thing. But he wrote a book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And we all thought 1984 was a threat to our freedom.
Yeah.
It's actually Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, where it's not the limited information that killing us. It's too much information.
Yeah.
It's that entertainment is making us not attentive to the things that really matters, you know? So anyway.
Anyway, on that note.
On that happy note,
follow us on Instagram, ADHDcast, at ADHDcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want us to do. Oh, Gavin said that he wants us to go see that whatever that Australian rap group. They're coming to L.A. He wants us to go see him.
I think we're going to have to.
We might have to do that.
Yoshi, where can they find you?
I don't know now because medical testing, so I have to find something soon. But I am going to more and more to Comedy Store, you know, even if I'm not performing. It's interesting. Every time I go, almost like every other time, I find a gig or something. So it's nice to meet people and see there, even though there's a few people that I hate at the Comedy Store. But most likely they're in L.A., but I got to make huge adjustments.
How about on the interwebs?
It's Twitter and Instagram, Yoshi Obayashi, which is Y-O-S-H-I-O, B as in boy, like boys. So O-B-A-Y-A-S-H-I.
Sweet.
Okay. Oh, dumbyoshi@gmail.com.
Email him, find out. All right, guys, we'll see you guys next week with some more awesome
donate.